first, we turn our attention to an issue of poverty, the economy, the environment, and community planning in West Fresno. Southwest Fresno has had a long history battling those issues, poor planning, lack of investments, and poverty. But why is that? As FM89's Diana Aguilera reports in the first of a two-part series of reports on this issue, a recently discovered set of maps sheds new light on Fresno's troubling and often overlooked history of segregation.
Mary Curry moved to West Fresno in 1956. Over the years, she's seen the neighborhood transform, but not in a good light.
There was a lot of businesses in the community when we moved here. There were grocery stores and there was retail, and we don't see any of that anymore. It's all gone.
It's now filled largely with low-income housing units and heavy industrial facilities. The transformation has left West Fresno at the top of the charts when it comes to poverty and overall poor quality of life. And according to the California EPA, the 93706 zip code is the community that's most vulnerable to environmental burdens in the state.
West Fresno is, I think, has been neglected for numerous years. We've been here since 1956, and I have not seen a lot of change as far as housing patterns and businesses. There isn't any. There used to be a vibrant downtown where people could go and shop. It's gone. So we've lost.
But how did this community get to where it is now? It all started in the early 1900s, when ethnic communities and affordable housing were primarily located in the southwest corner of town. At the time, federal government policies encouraged housing discrimination and segregation. Experts say the city which we live in today still reflects that legacy of discrimination, especially in West Fresno. Historian David Goldberg with UC Irvine says racial discrimination led to economic segregation and divided communities.
And those divisions are fields or parks or highways or, right? So you got to cross a highway to go, or you have to cross the park to get from a worse off area to a better off area.
In the 1930s, Congress created the Homeowners Loan Corporation. This gave low-interest, long-term loans to new homeowners across the nation, but not to everyone. To show which areas of the city were good investments, the government created residential safety maps. Neighborhoods were classified in four categories, from most to least desirable. The worst was red. That's why this practice has become known as redlining. Goldberg says the more racially diverse a neighborhood was, the lower it scored. That sent a strong message about investment in West Fresno.
Well, it's strongly to be discouraged, and certainly not loans should be given there. Or if loans were to be given, they should be at a much higher interest rate.
These color-coded maps quickly became adapted by other agencies and private banks. Across the country, many of the areas that were redlined 80 years ago still suffer a lack of investment. In Fresno, a number of neighborhoods were redlined, and the largest area was West Fresno. Former city manager Jim Aldridge grew up in this part of town. He says this area has always been the port of entry for newcomers.
If you're new to Fresno and you're low income, you're going to be looking in West Fresno, down here where the public housing stuff is.
Last week, I met up with him at Hinton Park next to Edison Computech School. We sat down on a bench looking over the red line maps from 1935. I asked him to read one of the descriptions of a Fresno neighborhood.
And there were a few colored families living in this area, but it appears there's little danger of infiltration of other colored races found in the large red area to the south. That makes sense.
Does it surprise you the language they use?
Yes. Yes. It was very bold statements. It's hard for me to read crazy stuff.
Aldridge and others say these racist policies encouraged racial and economic segregation. As the city grew to the north and east, people of color and low-income residents, as well as heavy industrial facilities, became established in the corner of the city. With lack of investments and less opportunities for residents, those who could afford it relocated to different parts of town. Despite the passage of the Fair Housing Act of 1968, community leaders say housing discrimination based on race and class has made a big impact on what our communities look like today, with some neighborhoods thriving and others lacking basic resources. Tate Hill, president of the Black Chamber of Commerce, says even though redlining is a thing of the past, it still influences how people think of West Fresno.
Some of the sentiments and perceptions are still there, that West Fresno is not a desirable location for investment.
And how does someone change this perception? Hill says it starts with residents, community leaders, and city officials believing that this neighborhood can thrive. He points out the Kearney Palms Shopping Center, close to Highway 99 and Fresno Street. For more than two decades, residents fought for the opening of the first and only major grocery store in the area.
One of the concerns that a lot of individuals have from outside of the community, that they said it just wouldn't work. And when they completed the construction of this location, the Food for Less that was anchor tenant here, in the first couple of months became like the number one Food for Less in their whole chain.
Hill says the shopping center is a testament to the community's potential, proving that with the right investors and the right mindset, West Fresno can be a vibrant neighborhood once again. With Valley Public Radio News, I'm Diana Galera.